All right. So it is March 19th at 6:39. I'm calling the Junction City Public Library Board meeting to order. Present are Board Chair Jennifer Dagas, Board Members Laura Brown, Bethany Marks, Nancy Sabin, and Librarian Michelle Schneider. Absent is Wendy Thielander. First off, are there any changes to the agenda? None? All right. Item three, approval of February 6th meeting minutes. Are there any changes?
Move to approve when everyone's ready.
Second.
All right, meeting minutes are accepted as written.
Well,
Unless
the next
I
library board meeting is scheduled for March 15th. Is today the 19th?
well, it is the 19th. Oh,
Oh,
good catch.
yeah.
It says March. I totally read it
At
as April.
8:09.
At
At 8:09 p.m.
Please
Oh,
no.
that's the oh, yeah.
What is going on there, Jennifer?
Well,
That's fun.
we need the comma, the eight, and the zero out, and then we got
Yeah, there you go.
them.
Just delete a couple things here.
That's all
Okay. All right, she got confused with this.
right.
All right, so okay, so we'll correct that date, and then minutes are good.
Yes.
Okay. Item four, review of collection policy and book donation guidelines. So Michelle did email us book donation guidelines that she written out, and then we are going to go over collection policy and how we want. I'm like, guessing we're totally rewriting the thing. We're not adept. Yeah.
It's very antiquated and missing things and has things that we don't need. And I think it's very long considering what we've seen other people have. So,
Yeah.
and I know the couple that I found for the collection policies, they had like the book donation
Yeah.
and stuff
Same.
in there. So
Yeah.
it
So
may be
this is part of that piece
perfect.
that I figured I would. Well, let's
Wait.
just say I was at home and I was like, well, let's. Oh, I was looking things up and then I was like,
Well, yeah, you might as
yeah,
well
yeah.
do
And
this too.
Michelle and I already discussed, like, you have your policy for like your web page or whatever, and then Michelle could like hand something to the like this to the patrons when they're like, I want to donate books. I'm like, okay,
Oh, yeah.
consider
That
this.
makes a handout.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. So.
So Michelle, did you want to talk about the what you wrote first?
Sure. So like Jennifer said, we have a lot of people who are interested in donating to the library, and so having a flyer of what we accept, how we accept it, and follow up from that is something that we've needed for a while. And where it kind of dips into the collection policy comes under kind of the donation inquiries, because I will get questions of how, from authors or publishers looking to donate a copy of their book into the library, and we need to come up with, something a little bit more set policy of what we say that we will take in for this library, so that we can, I mean, pretty much I've, been going on certain, of basic guidance, we'll go into that later. But anyway, so the for the library that we the items that we take, books, DVDs, audiobooks, craft supplies, games, puzzles, magazines. If somebody has local newspapers that are maybe historic in nature, as well as local yearbooks, I don't generally want someone's New Yorker, you know, that they read through on a Sunday and it's Friday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, it has come up in the past, and generally nobody's been too responsive to something like that. So, materials, essentially, you know, it lets them know that once it comes into the library's hands, it is up to us and how we will handle it. If it is something that we can put into our collection due to the nature of what it is, that it fits the rest of our collection, and that it is in good condition, we can do that. Anything, and that actually also follows with duplications, because sometimes, quite often, we will replace out current books that are still in use, that has enough checkouts that we're not going to weed out to refresh our collection, so that we can get longer use out of that book title. The things that are not used, they then pass on word to the friends of the library book sales. And then that way we can generate funds for more book purchases. And then sometimes they are of the third tier, which means that they're not good enough for even the book sale, and they go into our free box. In the past, they used to drive them over to the thrift stores, and I thought that was kind of silly because we have our own patrons here who would take them. So basically,
or like the little neighborhood libraries, even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, usually what goes into the free box are generally a lot more poor condition books.
Oh, or okay.
Very out of date books that would not get a resale value. And a lot of the magazines go straight to there. We don't generally take a lot of people bring us back copies of magazines that people aren't going to necessarily want to check out. Plus, we only have so much room.
Mm-hmm.
So as we know, we can't take everything. So the first section goes over what we can take into our the library collection, and we are looking for things that are in new or near new condition, because we want to put it out as, you know, as a nice copy for our patrons. They don't feel like, you know, this is a used bookstore. So we generally try not to take anything older than 15 years. However, if they're something that would be termed like a classic, we will take that, because I do feel that quite a few libraries, well, they have not necessarily kept all the classics. And I have quite a few patrons who that is what they're into reading, is rereading all the things that they never had time to. So I'm rebuilding some of our collection on that. And, you know, whether it's from 1957, but it is, you know, J.D. Salinger, or, you know, something that would be a, you know, just as good a read as a reprint done in 2010. So I would take that in, depending, as long as it was in a good condition. However, like nonfiction items, depending on what it is, you know, if it's about, you know, learn Facebook or something, I'm not going to take something that is from, you know, 2015. It better be within the last 2 to 5 years, or not even 5 years, 2 to 3 years, because computer technology and as well as a lot of medical information shifts. And so we want to have a lot more recent information for people.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
Remind me, what are you presenting this guideline to us to be implemented into a policy? What are we doing right now?
So we're kind of going over, this is the guidelines essentially of what we'll be taking in, depending okay. upon how we want to address it within a collection policy.
Okay.
We can take some of it, we can take none of it, we can alternate, you know, and say, you know, this is essentially what we take and why we take it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the nitty gritty. So, but, you know, sometimes it depends on, you know, how what we see of other libraries,
mm-hmm.
you know, gets to that point.
Okay.
You know, do we need to address, you know, the difference between what goes to, you know, the collection and what goes to maybe.
I think sense. You had a good point about like some authors are like pushing books.
Mm-hmm,
So by saying like, by having this policy, it's like, oh, we can't just let some outside party determine what's
right.
in the library.
Right, right.
So, but, you know, which also factors in, you know, of authors who, you know, maybe they published a book, you know, 6 years ago, and, you know, they're not necessarily, it's not a current marketing push, but I do have plenty of people who stop by who say, oh, I wrote a book mm-hmm. and, you know, I wrote it 10 years ago and it's on Eastern Asian pottery that, you know, well, I'm not necessarily going to find a patron group that is, you know, that's, it's very narrow of a, you know, readership for something like that. And maybe that would go elsewhere to a bigger library. But I do have that of, you know, whether it's a current author or an author who wrote something in the past for their legacy, they are hoping that some library will take their,
interesting,
their writing.
Okay.
So
I think we have to make sure the collection development policy and the book donation guidelines mesh together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dig in and see what they have and see how they all
yeah.
work together.
So, you know, generally, you know, as you go through, it just kind of, you know, what we can take due to the size of our library, you know, how, you know, also it feeds into what we could say about weeding, the weeding of the collection, what, you know, how things are chosen, how things, you know, leave the library collection, you know, over time. It kind of fits in with the donation. If we're not willing to accept something that we would be weeding out, it kind of double proofs our point of like, yeah, we can't take that because we don't currently accept it. And so we're going to weed out those things within that same level. Kind of like it's already in our library, you know, something of that style. We're weeding it out because it's already reached what we would not accept as a book donation.
Right. Like you had a super old tour guide and someone donates one 2 years newer.
Yes.
But you're like, well,
so we that's where it would want. Have to match.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah.
Sure.
So essentially, you know, this is kind of like, you know, and just as general, this is, you know, and if you were to see something that I did not think of, let me know. As just a general, oh, if I were to donate to the library and I see something missing, or why would you do that? just let me know. So.
But how do you guys want to tackle all of these?
I feel like for me, I need a little bit of clarity on, so collection development policy, is it to like protect the library, or is like, the purpose of it, is it just to make sure we're inclusive? Like, is it everything?
So a collection development policy is, you know, it's the guidance of what your library has within it and where it kind of wants to, I mean, it doesn't, you know, usually 10-year, you know, a 5-year, 10-year plan for your collection policy is good. Now that we've been since 1999, yeah. we haven't had anything more recent. There's been a lot of changes. So even, you know, a 5 to 7 year update refresh. So, you know, it's looking at diversity and inclusion. Is there, you know, something about it that, you know, equity, equality is, you know, every, you know, is there a balanced collection? How are we looking at what we buy as opposed to, you know, what we take in and which is donated, as well as what is weeded out. So it's a little bit of, you know, a variety of things. I think if we can look to see, you know, some commonalities
yeah.
in the policies that have been.
And both of these on, like the Denver and the Oregon City one, they both say like what it is and why they do it.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of the collection, this one says, is an ongoing process to provide high quality print and non-print materials and resources which meet the informational, cultural, and recreational needs of our community.
Okay.
So I think it's just to help people know, like, we didn't just pick these at random.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a reason why we have these books.
I like how short and sweet the Tacoma one is.
Okay.
Personally, they do have, and I didn't look at it, but they do have a gifts and donations policy. So let's see how that aligns and if that aligns.
So, I mean, what we could do is, you know, when we look through kind of see, yeah, I mean, there's like responsibility, collection responsibility, who has responsibility for maintaining the collection, making sure that it's balanced.
Oh, and this one's random.
Yeah. You know, dealing with patron requests. That's another thing too, of, you know, just because someone requests something does not necessarily mean we will buy it.
Mm-hmm. Right. The Tacoma one, I like how it says something of people are welcome to give us suggestions.
Okay.
Oh, and then we do. We have a suggestion slip for everything from books, authors, programs, whatever, and people can suggest, and then they can,
yeah,
you know, if it's granted and followed through with, then we contact them and say, it's here for you.
I like the Tacoma.
It's short. It's literally short and sweet.
Yeah.
Someone would actually sit there and read it.
Yeah.
If they were curious.
Yeah, theirs is so much shorter than almost
everybody else's. Yeah. Yeah.
Renoke has kind of like a simple one. I don't know if you've.
I was on a mission for short and sweet.
Got quite a few. You also have to think of the size of the library,
yeah,
too, because yeah. I will say this. I am very familiar with the Denver Public Library, and it is, I think they have 34 libraries within their system, and the downtown one is 6-7 floors, and so it's a lot. So they have a lot more than we do.
They have a little more room, huh?
They have a little more room. They also have a lot more population, a lot more discussion about what they collect and don't.
I mean, Tacoma is definitely a bigger city than us, but I do like how they're saying, you know, their collection is general in scope,
mm-hmm.
which is what I'm guessing we're aiming for. But then this Renoke one is like talking about community relevance. So, like, oh, that's why we have a Scandinavian section. Like,
mm-hmm.
There are some just basic things too that a lot of libraries will put in: American Library Association Bill of Rights, basically saying that what is kind of like standards for all libraries and providing service for its communities.
Some of these seem like they have other policies looped in.
Yeah.
Sure. Collection policies. Like, I'm just looking at Chattanooga's in a slice.
Yeah.
Here's the collection one, but also here's the digital one and the.
Yeah.
But at the end, at the very back, it talks about de-accessing or reading collections as a routine part.
Okay, that's nice. But I think the Tacoma one also had that.
Yep.
A much doesn't have smaller.
To be 14 pages.
And I like how they just linked other policies instead of copying
right.
them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's always, yeah.
There was the Tacoma one that we're talking about.
Okay. That's the one that I had printed off. We keep coming back to it. You should probably see it.
Yeah. Which is close to the Renoque one.
Yeah. They're going to merge the two, which
yeah.
would be great.
Well, and they have a whole strategic plan, which we don't have.
Yeah.
So
ours could be even shorter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got our values.
Yeah.
So we can say, does this cover our values? But we don't need that in a...
I did notice that one of the ones had something, maybe it was the Tacoma one, maybe it was all of them, about access to information in the library wants people to have the freedom of information. And I feel like we do have language in that in the online policy that we created that we could also include, if relevant, in the collection policy very similarly, but just rephrasing it for the other stuff that's not on the computers and workstations.
I think that's similar to the freedom to read statement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which you can just learn.
But this isn't, excuse me, it's not just about books, right? It could also be about if you did have tools, if you like, it's about DVDs, it's about if people backpacks, which has been very
bad. Yeah. So, you know, and what's also included too is things of what if somebody, you know, somebody has a complaint, request for reconsideration, for mm-hmm. recommendations, mm-hmm. a criteria for weeding and withdrawal, you know, what the process is if somebody, I mean,
they have almost kept theirs really.
Yeah.
Sure.
When you
yeah.
remove the freedom to read and the American. Bill of Rights, there's hardly anything here.
Yeah. Just take that, change it to what we need, and that.
Bless you. Bless you.
I do. It's
yeah. I'm trying to grab the thinnest ones.
Yeah.
Because that's the point. It's like, you know, you have them. It's like, I don't want to read it either.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is
mm-hmm.
going to take the time to read it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and we're a smaller library. How much are we covering? You know,
and it's more work to have more policy, more maintenance on staff
keeping it updated,
making sure
I mean,
it's relevant.
You know, here's our old one.
Yes.
Don't. You know, it has a whole table of contents.
Oof.
That is, you know, so 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 pages. 15-page collection policy.
What's the last
with,
page? Is that a problem?
It's basically a statement of concern about library materials.
Oh, okay. Do we have that somewhere else, or do we need to include that in here?
Well,
because I know one of these has that also at the back.
Yeah. It depends how we want to frame it, because some of them are, you know, this is what you would need to do under request for reconsideration.
Oh, okay. They just direct you instead of giving you.
Yeah, they submit. It's a whole separate form, which I guess I did not include on the Tacoma one. Or
you know. Do we need to tell people that the Timberland one says after materials have been withdrawn, this is one of the things that might happen to them?
So usually in the section on weeding, when you say, you know, plus on the,
so you don't have to get too much detail.
Well, you know, in the weeding process, essentially it, you know, mostly you can say that it has been withdrawn from the library's collection and it is now either, given to the, well, so I take that back. So the city has decided that library collection items that are strictly like that have been weeded out from our collection would go into, we would put it into a library sale, not a friend's sale, but a library sale.
So we would be able to say that because then the money from that comes straight back into the city and the library. So yes.
But if it's not required, no one's probably going to ask.
Yeah, I'm wondering because like this one is a very detailed of these are the ways that we would do stuff. Could we just be even short and sweet and just say, we'll do things with it? We can trust that the right thing will be done.
I also see a lot of policies that have the freedom to read, freedom to view, Bill of Rights. Is that something that needs to be a policy that some of them have them linked and some of them have them printed in there?
So I think as long as it's described out of what it is, and then you can, provide, like, I don't like a hyperlink without a actual website, because to me, not everybody's going to get a computer to look it up. You know, something like this is a hyperlink, but it doesn't actually have the website. So someone who only has paper has no clue of where to actually go.
I could be like an appendix.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Just like, here are the links.
The references, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think
I cut off your thought, I'm sorry.
Who's that?
There was
about what we're doing with the stuff.
Oh.
Sorry, sometimes when I don't say things, they just go over them.
Say who's that?
Is anyone missing a policy? I think I have all of them.
Okay. So on the Timberland, they say related policies, procedures, and supporting documents. And they listed it. Things at the end, but yet again, it's probably hyperlinked, which does and nobody any good if there's no actual. They do that so that if your website changes, you don't have to continually update your policy. So it's good and bad.
But do you think we'd put this policy on our webpage?
It has to be on our website. It's part of the standards for maintaining as a public library. Okay. Our old one is up.
You'd have print copies around. Or would you print them as needed?
We would print them as needed. But if somebody's at home and they go to print it off and they're, it's all about access. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you are, you know, stating that it's there, why are we making it difficult for someone to actually find? They have to go online and click the hyperlink to get to it is what I'm saying. So, you know. So it you know it's all fine that we can list it out. We just list out mm-hmm. a website next to it.
Yeah.
Oh, just okay.
Yeah.
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 So like that's how you have it on.
Yeah. So not just a hyperlink where it says the title of the policy or something. It has to actually tell them where to go.
Okay.
So now that we've all kind of looked over all of these policies, I personally would like to switch gears and. What are we going to do about it? How do we, what strategy do we have now to move this into the next stage just so that we can be productive? Because I feel like we can talk about it all, but.
Well, maybe if we start selecting the items that we want in the collection development policy, if we want like purpose of the policy, or if we want, you know, what do we like out of each of the other ones? And then start like check marking those so that we can take, you know, format our own outline.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
What do we, what are the requirements? Like what needs to be attached or?
You know, there are, you know, as you can see here, there's a variety. Mm-hmm.
With the United.
Purpose is always going to be, you know, the, you know, relevant. You want to say who's responsible for the collection management. You know, it just depends on what you're including in on it.
I'm looking up United for Libraries. See if there's any guidance.
I like the, I don't know how to say this. Renoki.
I think it's Roanoke.
Roanoke. I like how this one, and I like just accessibility and the way the format.
I like that one too.
Here's how we do, and I don't know. I like the flow of it too. Like, here's the purpose. Who's responsible? You know, it's just like takes me from point A to point B. You have one that we don't have.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of really long and
oh.
and then there's the one. Let's see. The library gratefully accepts gifts for the collection. And it says donated items are reviewed during using criteria laid out in this policy, the same as for purchased materials. Gifts that are not selected for the collection may be used for other library services or given to the friends of the library to sell, rehome, or otherwise dispense.
Like it's like a they stole it from something else. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll just keep it really vague.
Yeah, it is vague. And I mean, it's good if you want a lot of donations.
Yeah.
I feel like Michelle could probably get really overwhelmed with donations.
Yeah, proceeds from the Friends sales are used finite. For the benefit yeah, of the library. Yeah. Now, if the library makes money, do we get to keep it all? Or do we have to give it all to the city?
So, no, it comes into the library bucket of money. It's just that it's... separate of the Friends group because essentially it is city property. And then it is comes into back into the city as mm-hmm. you know, from sale. The
things that the Friends group
don't strict donations.
So we need the purpose of the policy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the United for Libraries, what they say, and it looks like maintenance and weeding is the only, they've got some examples for that and just collection. So, but it doesn't specifically say
so there are certain like
that there are certain
or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to include it. So like here's one introduction. You don't have to have purpose. Purpose of the policy. Some of them have the philosophy of the library that we could bring in our values for the library for that. How the selection process works. Then this one gets a little bit more.
Seems like a lot of them have the deselection. So we need like selection.
Mm-hmm.
Selection.
It's weeding.
Weeding, yeah.
I think, was it the Tacoma one that had a really nice layout of like why and what? Maybe it was Oregon City's one.
The United for Libraries says, note, the step-by-step guidelines on weeding and removal procedures are not typically found in a policy, but in a procedural manual.
Mm-hmm.
So that justifies keeping the weeding and not having to say exactly where things could go.
No, so basically, but you do tell
why. The why, yeah.
You know, the great. Why, because a lot of times people are like, I love that book forever. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yes, but it was loved to death. And
mm-hmm. yes,
you know, doesn't mean that we won't buy a new copy of it. It's right. just that one copy, you know, has lived its life.
And the Roanoke, I need to pick a different one so I can say its name. But they have a great general deselection criteria. Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah. Oh, I think that was, yeah.
Yeah.
Because like community relevant.
Yeah.
I think that could be a lot of.
Yeah. Because even, and yeah, Tacoma yeah. did too.
This and space is on here.
Space, yeah.
yes.
The so basic components of a selection policy are 1, library mission. 2, support for intellectual freedom. 3, objectives. 4, responsibility for selection. 5, selection criteria. 6, acquisition procedures. 7, special collections. 8, selecting controversial materials. 9, gifts and donations. 10, collection maintenance and weeding. Then policy revision and reconsideration. So, but they're just, this is not saying what we have to do, but of those things, what do we like? Library mission?
Only one of those had that on there. And don't we have another policy with the mission?
Yes.
Public
library had it.
If we put in the web page links to freedom to read,
yep.
freedom to view,
yep.
library bill of rights, we've got a lot covered.
Okay. So it's intellectual freedom, objectives, responsibility for selection.
So yeah, responsibility for collection management.
Mm-hmm. So that's how this one goes, purpose, and then who's responsible for it.
Yeah, we're looking at the same thing.
Okay, yeah. Like this one. Here, I want this one. Here.
And it just says the library director is responsible, pretty much.
Yeah.
And can delegate it to qualified staff members if you were to ever have any.
That's why we'll believe it as can. Not that it will, but.
Okay, so we like objective and purpose, responsibility for collection management. Okay.
I mean, can we just merge
Tacoma and Roanoke together and have a party?
I feel like, yeah. I even like the way they phrase it, especially the small Indiana library.
Yeah,
it's like
your way to say that now. Indiana library.
Indiana one.
Now,
I feel like it's us.
No, see, they got all that in there, whereas this one took all this room to essentially say the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything from either, since we like both Tacoma and the Roanoke sections to cut?
So now we can, you know, the donations policy only fits essentially the city. It doesn't really fit the book donation, which is where the book guidelines would come in, because the city's policy on gifts are more, does not relate to what we normally get at the library. And since we already kind of went through that with them of not having to rebuild another gift policy, the guidelines that I kind of wrote out should be able to supplement, because essentially, you know, it's.
So this is more like gifts. A quick reference guide for the public. Is this something that the board, if it's not going to be a policy because it's a guideline,
well,
so we have to vote on it?
It would probably go within the collection policy.
Okay.
We could, you know, we'll reference both the city's gifts policy, but then also the actual, you know, the book donation or the book and materials policy, because that is more directed to what, you know, we would actually see. If somebody wants to give us land where we could build a new library, we'll take that.
Sure. Absolutely. We will. Well, I feel like you're the expert on the book donation guidelines. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I notice is that under no large or coffee table books, we is not capitalized and everything else has a capitalization in that first one. That's the only thing that I have noticed in reviewing this.
Sure. I'm comfortable. I would actually, I think these are like very insightful and some of them are funny, but I would actually take out why. I would just like, be like,
they're out of date.
Yeah, I would just be like, no.
Yeah.
Explain why.
They can follow
people
up.
People are going to be asking tons of questions. Yeah, you can meet them. I just think it'd make it quicker to read through for people.
That's how I would do it.
What do you mean?
I would just be like, no encyclopedias, dictionaries, no large magazine collections, no large coffee table books. I wouldn't tell them why.
Because the why really does come back to our collection policy, where we say that we liked it. It talks about weeding. It talks about all the things that makes us.
Mm-hmm. And if someone has it at home and they're going through something, they're like, oh, no textbook. Okay, Goodwill pile. Okay.
No humor.
No, come on. I appreciate it.
A decade of National Geographic. Come on.
I just don't want anyone to get offended either. I feel like, what? National Geographics are the best.
Never out of date.
That's why they collected them for 10 years. And
we cannot pull words out of a dictionary in like English class. It's like, why?
Why?
Why do you do that?
So, well,
I mean, I personally would be okay not having the guidelines part of the policy. That way you can like If there's ever an issue, you can just edit them. And
well,
those are not the rules. They're just.
But the thing is, the gifts policy is very limiting. It doesn't actually expressly talk about. It's the city gift policy. It doesn't actually address anything that somebody's actually donating to the library.
But we can put the city policy under gifts,
right? Yeah. So I'm saying both. Okay. So that way that people could see, you know, this is what we do take. This is how it over, you know, basically there's two levels, you know, this is the wider range. If you're giving us something of a greater monetary value, this is what it would fall under. And, you know, because I do get people who say, oh, my relative passed away and they've got a whole room full of books and, you know, they may be worth something, but I can't take them because I don't have a way to, you know, I'm not going to be able to put them on eBay and sell them. You know, I just don't have a mechanism nor the staffing to do something like that. Plus, I'm literally, that was a phone call I received last week. A whole room of books wall to wall. So, you know, and it, you know, 300 books somebody wants to donate, and some may have a monetary value or not. For, you know, for us to take something like that in, especially if it's not on a time that we're going to do a book sale.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that I
can. You haven't got somebody that can just see if each one. I mean, you know, if you had mm-hmm. If you had all the extra things, you could, but yeah. You can't.
No. I mean, that is, you know, that is mm-hmm. something that the bigger libraries have mm-hmm. staffing to help with.
Mm-hmm.
Just yeah, or they sell to a, you know, an actual bookseller mm-hmm. who mm-hmm. takes care of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, having at least some guidance on what we do take and why, because I don't think I'd want to see a donation listing without, you know, I think it doesn't serve us any good by just having what the city takes.
And you think this would be attached to the collection development and not the gift policy?
Well, if we're going to attach it to the gift policy, then legitimately, we'd have to have it passed through as in part of the gifts policy. That would have to come in under this is guidelines. So this is, there's a gift policy from the city, and then we would have the book guidelines, book donation guidelines.
That's what you want to do, or are you just saying that's how we do it that way?
I think that would be a little bit easier that way. Because otherwise, because otherwise we're backtracking, and not only are we trying to make it part of the collections policy, but then we would also have to try and make it part of the gifts donation policy.
I don't think I'm following. What's
so
what policy do we want this on?
So this would be part of the collections policy, because otherwise then we're trying to. Yeah.
So it'd just kind of be on the end of the collection policy.
Yeah. Well, under, you know, donations or one. So.
All right. So we still feel pretty good about merging these two. With the. Okay.
So how do we. Make
it
our own.
Kind of, sorry, a related policy. I'm kind of curious of why they this group also said their internet use policy and their interlibrary loan policy. This library kind of like stuck on everything under the sun, just
and did it in 3 pages.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. The Timberland, I'm not very excited about. There, it's a lot of. It's a lot of overview and then doesn't really say much. So let's not use them.
I like it. Makes things easier.
The Denver Public Library seems to be too large for what we are. We don't have a branch. Okay. We are the only central library. We could cobble together some of the stuff from, you know, basically I go through and say what the weeding process is that we use. Generally, there's a...
I think Tacoma, was it Tacoma that had what they, how they weed in
there? I like the Roanoke one.
Well,
I don't have Tacoma.
We already have kind of like a weeding standard that I use. So I don't necessarily
so
want
to, it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to just pull someone else that calls. Weeding is very particular to a library.
So would that be a procedure or would that be in the policy?
Weeding is in the policy. Yeah.
Okay, so to continue on this, we probably need some kind of draft.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want one of us to take that on, Michelle? Or do you want to, like, I don't know how particular you are.
What you have that you want in there, like you just said, you have a weeding policy already.
I mean,
what
one of us could draft a format and then you could just go in and, you know, fill things out.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, some of this is just boilerplate that we could, you know, we don't necessarily want to copy everything they say, though. That's not totally kosher.
We'll get the bullet points and then we'll,
yeah, because it seems like we're kind of at a stuck point until we have a piece to,
yeah.
Even so, if it's not our words, and then we can go through and be like, okay, well, this isn't relevant. And,
yeah. I mean, honestly, you know, even though the Tacoma one looks great, the Roanoke one is just kind of like a sentence or two per section. It's kind of like we only really have so much to say in each of the sections because we're just not that big of a library.
That's perfect.
I think creating more work for us to write.
I feel like they're the same size as us, just reading it. And I'm like, they have a space problem. Okay, that's us. Okay. I feel like a lot of these longer ones, too, they just, like, lined out things that don't need to be lined out, whereas other ones, you know, put a link.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because even at the end of that, Let me photocopy extras of these two policies.
They're tiny.
Oh, wow.
How big are they?
1,700 people in the 2020 census.
Well, good for them for having such a nice little policy.
Good job.
Wow.
What was Junction City? Because it grew quite a bit this last census, didn't it?
Not much.
I think it was like 6,000 or maybe 7,000.
Yeah.
I feel like we got 300 more.
Yeah, which with all the apartments and everything, you're just thinking.
Huh. Well, they do they count renters?
Yeah.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. People count, supposedly. But, you know, with all the new apartments and stuff.
7,000. We're above 7,000. So 7,100. Whereas mm-hmm. the other one was 1,700.
Wow.
I think it's crazy that, you know, Tacoma is way bigger than us. So we like different size cities here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now they're both kind of applicable. So yeah, if we merge these two city sizes together, we get us.
Right. The average.
Yeah.
Hey. Isn't Tacoma like it's tens of thousands?
Yeah.
No idea.
Hundreds of thousands.
Big. Oh, I don't know.
I know there's like as many people in the Seattle area as there are in like Oregon.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Yeah, they're big. They're 200,000, 220,000.
Oh wow. I would have thought about 100,000. Jeez, I was way off.
I was even surprised. Isn't Eugene like only 170,000 or something?
I think so, or at least this is fun. Thanks for 175,000 is Eugene.
Mm-hmm. It seems like we're bigger than that. Because that's still not very much.
I mean, you guys.
I don't know what the metro.
That's true. That's just Eugene. And then us, mm-hmm. even though we count ourselves
well,
as Eugene.
Well, of course,
in
Junction City has so many people in the city limits that aren't in Junction City.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So if we did Eugene, Oregon metro population, that goes up to almost 400,000, 380,000.
Mm-hmm. That makes
so sense. What is Tacoma's metro population?
Oh. We need a like a chart or something.
4 million.
Oh,
what? You left us. We got
sidetracked.
We got entertained.
Oh. Okay.
By populations.
Does anybody want extra for crossing out?
I'm okay.
Oh,
I
you
think
don't...
I've got
okay.
Those are the first pages.
Oh,
you have the second pages.
Oh, okay.
This is the first page. I think I have one.
She has.
Oh, okay. Why do I have so many first pages? Where's all the second pages?
We do have two.
I have a first and a second.
What do you have, Nancy?
I've got.
Oh, this one doesn't have a back.
Maybe
back on this first page.
That's front and back.
Okay. And then this is just a front.
Oh, I think because I stopped it.
That
it was not being front and back.
Yeah, this one.
There we go.
Okay. Here is Renoke.
Okay. I have a Renoke button.
There. Thank you. Did you need a Renoke?
No, I got one.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So, Michelle, do you have an ideal way for us to help you out on this?
Somebody wants to start setting up an outline, maybe based upon like the Renokes.
Okay.
And then we can start filling in.
It's like how on the top, I didn't notice before that they have a hashtag. It's not that far. To your small town library.
Oh.
I saw the to your small town library, and that's why I'm like, this one.
Small town library.
Okay. So is anyone interested in helping with the outline?
What do you mean by outline?
So
for this,
setting up the outline of like the format of just saying collection management policy, purpose policy, and then we'll fill in our own sections or whatnot.
We want it to include what's already in this policy, and then we can change as needed.
Just go to the website.
Yeah, like, are you just saying we put this in a Word document? Because I can definitely do that.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then, Word document.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
or a Google,
Michelle.
Yeah. But you don't actually want anything in it.
Well,
you just want the headers.
We need to go through it and see that's what we want. So, okay, so
let's cross out sections we don't want. And then we won't have that.
This policy is established by the Junction City Public Library Board.
Oh, yeah, I can also read through it and change those wordings, make it a little simpler.
Either directing the management of the collection. Hopefully, they won't mind that we are copying them.
Nah.
They'll never know.
Let's see. I don't know what to do with this hashtag, but
it's hard. Well,
make our own.
we'll can change.
It's stuff. Pretty close.
I'm fine with the first paragraph, second paragraph. I don't know if that sounds good to you.
Do we need a cooperative relationships?
We do have the
inner library.
Yeah, we have. Let's see.
Should we change it to that? Because isn't that?
Oh, what is that called?
Consortium. A consortium.
And we could line out those libraries instead.
Mm-hmm.
Look.
Yeah, I think that makes sense because we're not in charge of their development policies, but you can still check out everything here.
So I wouldn't actually, like their second paragraph in that is confusing. It's not actually about
Well, I guess they're looking at cooperative relationships of basically parents judging their own.
Probably not needed, huh?
Well, it's not in that paragraph. Like if you're talking about the interlibrary consortium, then that's very separate entity than a parent guardian. One's oversight and of use.
Yeah, you're right.
And the other one is who we trade with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a match. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could say, and ours is, we could say consortium relationship.
Yeah, and the first paragraph makes better, sense for all that.
Yeah. And ours is L call to available resources through interlibrary loan. Lane. What do we call ourselves?
Is it in the app?
Yeah, I was gonna look it up online.
I feel like it's And Lane Libraries.
So Bethany, yeah, you're willing to draft something? Okay.
What do we actually call ourselves?
I'm Michelle, I think it's okay. Bethany,
I can look it up.
Draft it.
No, you can't look it up. It's in our cooperative paperwork.
It's not online anywhere.
No.
Bethany can write me.
It might,
yeah. I'll highlight it.
Yeah. It might be online how interlibrary loan works.
Well, if it's not online, do we even need to include that? Because could the name change?
No. Send you our actual.
Okay.
Well, yeah, let's just draft something and then we can come back to it next meeting and compare it to these and see what's missing.
Yep.
Does that sound like a plan?
That sounds wonderful. Okay.
And then we can edit it all next.
Okay.
Any more discussion or questions on that, or does that sound like a plan? Okay.
I lost my agenda. One of these.
It's time for library update.
I was
writing and review.
It. I was using it as paper.
Okay, so Michelle, we just got summer reading program planning on here for update and review.
Long story short, we were still trying to figure out what the space of where we were going to be. So even though we had been in talks with the district since November, and we had worked out the possibility of the space, and I was filling out the facility form when the option for the Grange, because the Junction City Grange had been one of our first thoughts too, because the community center also needs space. They have a day camp that's 9 weeks. They have their classes, but there was concerns that the Grange had lost membership. They need 13 members as well as a full board to stay open. And we weren't sure what was going to happen with that. And so it was trying to figure out what was going on. On Saturday, they just got a full membership and board. However, they are reorganizing. At this time, I'd prefer to work with the Grange, because I think it would be a better... It would be easier for us working with the school. We're still in distance of the school, but at this time, through more recent contact, the management at Laurel had no idea that we were even going to be there.
Oh, no.
And so And scheduling has been very difficult because
Yeah.
I was trying to find out with the ice storm, there was a delay and they didn't finally come out with when the last day of school was going to be until late. And then asking when summer school is going to start. They still have no plans on what dates those are going to be. And they probably won't know until, who knows, maybe late May, June. As well as obviously how many kids are going, it's not known until, after the school year, or towards the end of the school year. So it just seems to have a lot of flux. And it's very hard for me to schedule anything because I'm not 100% sure. Do we really have space? Is everybody on board? And I almost feel that there's a lot of hoops to jump through. Not just do we have to have approval for the programs within city, but then we would also have to have approval from all the school and school district to approve programs, which is
I'm comfortable with your recommendation.
So it's a that's a lot of work.
Is the Grange open to working with us with all the
They know, and when they were going to have their meeting and weren't sure, the president of all the Granges had come down. He actually ran the meeting. And he came into the library, and he passing out flyers, and we would talk to him, and I was like, well, we've talked about to the Grange in the past that we are interested in renting the space. So, if they are able to be open, we will be able to rent the space from them to give them a guaranteed, push through the summer. And so, I said, if you want to float that idea to them on voting night, that they'll have at least a guaranteed funding source, possibly coming in. So I don't know if he did mention that, but hopefully that is in their minds as well. April 9th at I think 7 o'clock is their Grange meeting, and that's the first meeting where they will be starting off with the new members. I am going to see if I can go to that meeting, and maybe Shelley will come as well because she's a community center coordinator, and stress to them, hey, because by then it's April 9th, and I really need to get on board and get a finite place of saying this is where we're having our programming, because I can't lock in vendors. I can't, start, marketing materials. And
Was there a theme this year that you
read, renew, repeat.
oh
It's supposed to be kind of outdoorsy,
yeah I had already
which
mentioned to you about maybe just not doing as much as usual, but I'm wondering, like, could we just do something with the fire department or like
I already have kind of like a grouping of
okay.
things. I have already looked at certain programs, but yet again, because of the point that the area that it is, because essentially, I don't know if everybody knows where the Grange is. It's essentially right. Laurel Elementary School is here, and then we have our city park in the middle, and then the Grange is across the street. So within that proximity, you have the school with summer school. You have the free lunch program. They give out about 70 free lunches. They have the pool. They have pool swim lessons in the morning. They have the skate park. They have two preschools nearby, and they also have the middle school that is within walking distance. So the potential to have a lot of people is huge. I've already looked at how to address, and I've talked to some of the other libraries on how to manage with a possibility of large amount of people. And so switching over to kind of like a bingo template where kids try to fulfill you know, whether it's, you know, a bingo or a blackout or whatnot, of not doing a registration and book log for every kid. Instead, basically, they will finish it and then receive a prize based upon, I'm still working on some of the structure, and then we'll run drawings throughout the summer for bigger prizes. That way we're not so heavily laden of trying to keep up with every kid at every level. And it's based on who turns one in, you know, and that way the prizes that we have available are the prizes that are going to be there and first come, first serve kind of thing. And that way counts will be done a little bit differently. We'll still also, we have of our new cards, we have the short-term card, which is, which was promoted first for people who are in short-term housing. But we can also use that for the summer reading program because it's for 3 months and three items at a time. So we already give kids who are outside the general tax zone a free card during summer. So if as long as they go to the Junction City school district, they are able to get a free card for the summer. And so we could do that and then do, you know, just they could come to the library and do checkouts. I feel that we would have to bring a lot more stuff off site to kind of generate things.
I think it all sounds great. I'm just worried about like at what point do you say, hey, we don't have a location. Let's do something else.
Having a summer reading program, unless your library has burned down.
I mean, like if we went to the fire department, if like Master Martin let us use a studio, like if you found places around town.
Liability.
Okay.
It's not our buildings. Okay. Not our rodeo. Not our clowns. We have no control over other people's buildings and
we can still be in the Grange.
So the Grange and it has it as part of their we have to provide insurance from the city.
Okay.
And so doing that. We're already under the umbrella of community services. So as part of that, we would be insured.
Okay, but if you don't get the school and you don't get the Grange.
Well, we would get the school.
You would get the school.
Yeah. So but I'm preferring the Grange because it's easier for organization. It's just dependent upon whether they will be organized enough for me to say, yes, are we a go? Yeah. So that I can start scheduling.
Okay.
So
you're confident April, we have a location, you just don't know where.
Preferably the Grange. Okay. Preferably the Grange. Otherwise it's gonna be a lot of backtracking work to work with the school too. Yeah, I wasn't aware that the school management staff didn't quite know. So, yeah. Anyways.
To be determined, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. April 9th, it sounds like we'll hopefully have a better idea.
Well, you know, they may have to consider it after we, you know, we re-propose it, you know, and say, hey, this is a deadline. We need you to give us an idea, you know, yes or no.
And then June, like, does it start right after school or do we start later?
So last day of school is now the 18th of June.
Wow. That's late.
Yeah. The ice storm took out a few days. So normally we would have 2 weeks at the end of June. Now there's just 1 week. Also included with that, the Scandinavian Association is doing their day camp. They're running it all that last week. They want to have about 60 kids. Which would pull from our grouping as well. Plus they want to come and send those 60 kids to the library that same week. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
all yeah. at once.
2 days. Oh, gosh. 30 kids had a pop. Yeah, it's busy. But if we can't necessarily start it too late because then the 4th of July holiday is the following week. So I have run into, so basically we might have to switch to Thursdays because all the other libraries have suddenly switched to Wednesday, meaning that already performers have already been booked. And so Thursdays, we may have to skip a week, or I'll see if I can have someone on a Wednesday instead of the 4th of July, because 4th of July is on a Thursday. So it's a really bumpy schedule kind of coming up.
So for our April meeting, would it be helpful for us to use the time to support you with some summer reading program work? Making phone calls or sending emails to some of these individuals? I mean, I know I've been to the library, and when you have a volunteer, like, sometimes they can help you, but for the most part, I don't know how you have time to do anything strategic, because you've got to help people find what they need to find, and
help
your volunteers find what they need to
find. Exactly. Remind them that they have to click the name before they share the books.
Yeah. I have a wonderful new volunteer that I've started training, and she is putting my bingo chart together right now, and I'm hoping to have her work on some of the calls. Okay. I'm having her start at 10 a.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so that's an hour before we open. It's just I'm also onboarding her with all the computer stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, I will have to see where I'm at. I mean, pretty much what it will come down to, I think I can get the performers that I want to get. It's what then comes in is the financing, because bigger groups mean more money. I know, like, I don't want to say anything on that because I don't want to lose my vendors. But one's 150, I know, another one's 375, another one is 450, you know, and that's not even counting in, you know, because even though in this news cycle, I wouldn't be able to give kids a free book at every level like I have in the past, that's generally, people really like our program because they get great prizes. They get a lot of prizes. They're like, yes. But then we have a great participation rate. I can't do that if I have, you know, 150, you know, well, we're already 120 is my normal program. If I have 300 kids sign up for the program, I can't afford books at this level to do every. So even at that. And then the problem I was having too, even though I bumped it up to age 14, I didn't have enough of the older kids' books, because younger kids, I can, you know, spend $2 to $3 a book. But if you're getting a book for a 14-year-old, you're spending $8 a book.
Yeah.
So it gets pricey in that factor. So that is coming into needing sponsorships. And or, you know, just other grant money and ETF. I got more money from them last year. I got $1,000 from them. So, which I'll probably do again. It's just how it carries over as well, because some of the funding, like ETF's funding, does not come through until after July. So I spend money, but then I go into the next year as a negative. And I'm always in a negative, because that's how the funding of grant groups go through, by the time that I'm able to get the money and the vendor locked in. So just know that. We'll see this as a negative. It's just how it is.
How much does summer reading program cost right now? Like last year's numbers of 120 kids?
I honestly would have to go and work it up. I don't have it as a ballpark in my brain.
I was impressed with how many prizes this library gets. I mean, when I was a kid, it was you read your 20 books or whatever, and then you got your prize at the end, and we got t-shirts. But
I did a $1,000 grant from ATF. I get $1,000 from Ready to Read, which is a state grant, $800 from the city. Although some of that is eaten away by the previous year.
Right.
So probably at least $3,200. And that's not counting in as I go along through the summer, because sometimes I have to buy more prizes or something.
Mm-hmm. Is that just prizes, or is that including your Wednesday?
It's prizes, it's crafts, it's books, it's book logs, it's set up materials.
It is at the presenters too?
All the the programming. I'll have to come up with a better pricing for you. Yeah, it's last year was a little bit different too, because we had the backpacks, and the backpacks were a lot more money. And we took on a donation from the Girl Scouts to help fund half of the backpacks, because it turned out to be more, because by the time we had originally priced things out, everything had gone up in price. So because by the time when you first do your grant, you're like, it'll be this much. And by the time you finally get it, you know, half a year later, inflation happens.
You're well, like, some take home work that I could do is research places that we could look for sponsorship.
Mm.
I can apply for sponsorship if.
What I was also thinking of doing is going to the networking at Tri-County Commerce.
Yeah.
So they have the breakfast networking, and they also have the afternoon lunch. You get 5 minutes to say your spiel. And then basically say what I would probably need help on, and we'd have to go through and see what city would allow for on sponsorship, is writing up a sponsorship proposal to give out to people saying, what can we give you that you will sponsor us? You know,
do you want me to do that?
Sure.
I will go ham. That is my jam. Okay, I got it on it. It's like you do that for a living.
Yeah,
it's like you do that for a living. All right.
Yeah, you know, I've written up sponsorship stuff before. It just takes a while, and trying to think of what could I give other people that would give them their bang for their buck, and then also
easy. Got it. Okay.
Have, you know, we have to present it to the city that they would be like, yes, we will let them. But they've thought about it before, because they wanted to do movies in the park and have the.
Those are always so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you have to buy the whole projection thing, and it was going to be kind of pricey, and they were going to look at sponsorships for that. Plus the whole pay for the movies, licensing, not cheap either. Mm-hmm. And so they have had that in their mind. So it shouldn't be too foreign of a concept, hopefully. So, but.
I have thoughts about that. Okay.
I would think that a lot of, because we've never had this ask out there, and not only for sponsorship, but just donation gifts for, you know, good readers who've like handed in their sheets and, you know, Max Porter's already on board. They told me originally when we first started, you know, and some of that would be great too. If, you know, we'll just say, oh, you know, if you want to donate towards, drawings for kids, drawings, you know,
because that way it'd be sponsored by
George
Family Chiropractic could do that.
Yeah, there's not, we've not, I don't know the last time, if ever, the library's made an ask from the community, so hopefully they would come out and say yay. So
yeah
because I try to finance it all, because I don't have enough time,
but I mean I feel like even patron contributions or individual contributions, a $250 gift could go a long way if you got 10 of them, you know? So that we are going to get some money, Michelle. We're going to get some money. This is going to happen.
Hey, Laura.
Minimum $5,000 is coming in through this.
That's minimum. A lot of money.
No.
I do my typical grants too, so.
But I'm just talking summer reads program.
Yeah.
If you let me run with it a little bit, of course you can come in and edit it. Yeah. But if I can just get us started, I can help you out.
Okay. I would say yes, go for it, and then we'll have to have a whole sit down conversation with city administrator, because to the for the library to take in community money may come under the gifts policy and all that. So
happy to join you for that meeting.
Okay, cool. All right, I think we're good.
Okay, any other business? None. No public comment. There's nothing else. We're going to adjourn. Okay. So our next meeting is Tuesday, April 6th at 6:30.
April 16th.
I don't know what I said.
Six. You forgot the extra one.
Okay. April 16th, 6:30. And I'm adjourning this meeting at 7:59.